Today on A Daily Walk, think over this with us.
Can I ask you tonight, what is the most important thing in your life? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But what's the most important thing in your life? Is it Jesus? Jesus is our life, and the implication is clear. He is coming again, and we are going to appear with him in glory. I can't think of any better news tonight than to know Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon. I don't know when, but I want to be ready.
All sin is bad, and to be avoided, it will hurt you, and left unchecked, it will ultimately destroy you. So you don't want to make excuses for it. What's to be done about sin? Well, today on A Daily Walk, we're given practical counsel from God's Word. In Colossians chapter 3, we're told, put off the old and put on the new. And this is especially needed in light of the Lord's return. It's a conscious choice that we each must make, and it doesn't just happen. Let's join Pastor John Randall as he begins at verse 4.
We're to set our mind on the things above, because very shortly, we're going to be standing before the Savior who is above. That is why in verse 4, Paul says, and what a wonderful passage this is, he says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You've died with Christ spiritually, you've been raised with Christ spiritually, and one day you are going to appear with Christ in glory. Glory. Think about that, friend. When Christ, who is our life, it isn't simply sharing in the life of Christ, but he is my life. My life is Jesus. Can I ask you tonight, what is the most important thing in your life? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But what's the most important thing in your life? Is it Jesus? Jesus is our life, and the implication is clear. He is coming again, and we are going to appear with him in glory. I can't think of any better news tonight than to know Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon. I don't know when, but I want to be ready. Paul declares that the old person crucified with Christ, the new person raised with Christ, and now, in light of the fact that we have been raised with him, here comes the practical application of how I am to live. This is what my life is now to look like since this is a reality that I've been born again. Look at what it says in verse 5, as Paul says, Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Paul lists for us in the following verses some of the things that actually made up our old life, the old life that we are to die to and have been raised out of. And the power of these things has been broken in our lives. However, we still need to daily reckon ourselves to be dead to those things that used to have a hold on us. That is why Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, when he said, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That word reckon is an important word. It's an accounting term. It's already happened. You died, you've been raised with Christ, but I need to reckon that it happened, that I am dead to that. Maybe you've heard that phrase, I'm dead to that, or you're dead to me. It's saying I'm dead to who I used to be, and I have to remind myself of that, because there are moments when the old me would love to be alive and well, but I've got to say, no, I'm dead to that. That's who I used to be. That's not who I am anymore. You see, I used to be very selfish, or I used to be very lustful, or I used to be very just rude and profane. I'm dead to that. That's not me anymore, and I don't want to be that person anymore. And I need to reckon that old person to be dead. Remember Jesus said in Luke's gospel in the 9th chapter, in order to follow him, he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, there's something you're going to need to do. You're going to need to carry the cross. That instrument of death, that instrument of death to the old me, the old person. And it's not always easy. And if you're like me in this season that we're in right now, you're probably seeing there's some of you that's coming back up and you're having to reckon that to be dead. It's like you're put in the situation that you're in and you're tired of it and you want it to be over, you're done with it, and yet here we are. And I have to remember, I'm still dead to that. That is not who I want to be. That's not who Jesus died and raised me up to be. I reckon that old person to be dead. I think of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, when he was describing the ministry and the difficulties. He said, always carrying about in the body. Listen to this. This is so powerful. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Did you catch that? Paul said, the dying of the Lord, so that the life of Jesus can be seen. The old me dead, so that Jesus can be seen. Listen, if the old man is alive, it's going to be real difficult to see Jesus. And that's what we should want people to see. Seeking the things that are above, setting our mind on the things above, living the resurrected life. And as a result, there are things that we put to death in ourselves that want to come up, such as, you say, well, what things do we put to death? Well, he tells us here, and it's not a very attractive list. First of all, he says, put to death fornication. The word fornication, interestingly enough, is the Greek word porneia. That's where we get the English word pornography. Sexual relationships outside of a marriage, fornication, whether you are engaged in it or you are entangled through the watching of it, porneia. This is something that God doesn't have for us as children of God. This will certainly cause problems for the Christian. In Paul's culture, and sadly in our own culture, fornication was acceptable, celebrated, commonplace, applauded, a way of life, not considered sin by the unsaved. And for many of us before Christ, we didn't consider it sin either. You just lived that life apart from Jesus. And you find that this practice, sometimes you find people justifying it. But a sexual relationship is made for the husband and wife and nothing outside of that. And if you're involved in that, to engage in fornication is to be involved in sin. And you're sinning, not only affecting you, but you're also affecting that other person. Living with another person who's not your spouse. Well, you know, things are tight financially, and so we decided to move in together. It's not what you think. Well, it might not be what I think, but it's certainly what God thinks is what matters. And if that's how you're living tonight, you might be watching this service tonight, sitting next to this person who's your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you're living in sin. Let me just say something to you tonight. You need to repent and move out and get right with the Lord. God's not going to honor that relationship. He's not going to bless it. And you are hindering this other person from walking with the Lord. And what you're saying by living in that situation right now is, I love me more than I love you. I love me more than I love Jesus. Paul said that needs to be put away with. Not only put away from us, not only that, but uncleanness. It's a word used in a moral sense. Impurity, lustful pursuits, an unclean life. You know, Jesus died so that he could cleanse us. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus, think about this, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all sin. We are cleansed from head to toe. He washes us clean. And for many of us, we were dirty, filthy in sin, rolling in it, man. And Jesus washed us and made us whole. And he made us whole not so we could go back and be unclean, but so that we could walk and clean in fellowship with him. Paul said also here, passion. Which, by the way, it's not the word passion used in a positive sense, as if being passionate about something. It's good to be a person who has passion, especially for the things of the Lord. But rather, it's a word, again, that is used to describe depraved passions, immoral pursuits, passion in the negative context, in the sinful connotation. Then he says, evil desire is to be put away. It speaks of evil and wicked cravings and pursuits that are unclean. Again, lustful, destructive, they kind of fit into a category together. And then covetousness, which is idolatry. The Bible says that we should not covet. What does it mean to covet? It means to want what somebody else has and want it to the point that I wish they didn't have it. Covetousness. And so much of these other sins really grow out of the soil of covetousness. That's really how it happens. That's how it begins. In that soil of covetousness, so many other sins begin to evolve and develop. And it says, don't covet. You know, it's funny, sometimes you hear people say, maybe you've heard this said, and I think it's just one of those phrases that people say, and I don't think they mean anything by it, but I don't use it, I don't like it. It's this phrase, we covet your prayers. Don't covet anything. You can desire their prayers, you can ask them to pray for you, but coveting, it's just not a good thing. So let's just strike that from Christianese, can we? Take that out. Anyways, moving on, idolatry. Not just false gods that you worship, little statues that you bow down to, but anything that takes the place of the one true God in our life. All of these things that are listed, these are the things that are to be put to death. Those things died when we identified with Christ. And now we're raised out of that, not to go back into that. These are the things that are put to death. And I believe when we're seeking Jesus and setting our mind on Jesus, it's a great deterrent to living for those things that we once used to live for. Paul says in the very next verse, and here's the reason why we ought to avoid these things. You ready for this? I love the fact that Paul says, this is what we're to do, and by the way, here's the reason why. He just doesn't say, just do what I say. He says, listen, it's really important because of who you are to do these things, and by the way, here's another reason why it's important. He says in verse 6, because of these things, that list that he just gave us, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Another reason why we should put these things to death is because engaging in these things will ultimately bring the judgment of God, the wrath of God, as opposed to salvation of God that's provided through Christ. Now, here's something, quite honestly, that you don't hear a lot about today. It's not the number one message being preached. I have yet to find, and not that I'm searching for it, but I haven't come across it. 12 weeks on the wrath of God. Please come to our church. You're going to be encouraged, blessed, built up, and strengthened in your faith. No, you don't hear that often, but the fact is the Bible does teach about the wrath of God, that God is love and God is just. And sometimes we think that those are polar opposites, that God can't be just, but he can't, and at the same time be love. But listen, he really couldn't be all loving if he wasn't just. They go together. And so here it's saying the wrath of God is going to be revealed and it's going to be poured out at some point on the sons of disobedience. And that's where we were. We were under the wrath of God before the salvation of God we experienced through Christ. We were going to suffer the punishment for our sins. Jesus suffered the wrath of God for us, and because we trusted in him, now we're not been appointed under wrath, but under salvation. But the person that rejects salvation will experience the wrath. But it can be avoided because of the work of Christ. It's sad to find many professing Christians who appear to regard the wrath of God as something for which they need to make apology for. Or at least they wish that there were no such thing. While some would not go so far as to openly admit that they consider it a blemish on God's divine character, they're far from regarding it with delight. Someone went on to say, they like not to think about it, and they rarely hear it mentioned without a secret resentment rising up in their heart against it. Even with those who are more sober in their judgment, not a few seem to imagine that there is the severity of divine wrath, which is too terrifying to form a theme for profitable contemplation or to think about. Others, sadly, harbor the delusion that God's wrath is not consistent with his goodness, and so they seek to banish it from their thoughts. And this is difficult for us to sometimes fathom, how that God could be all-loving and at the same time, at some point, the Bible reveals, is going to pour out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting world. Now, Jesus died to save us from that, but there will come a point when his long-suffering will come to an end. And just like it was in the days of Noah, there came a point when the ark was built and the door was shut. There comes a point when the long-suffering of God runs out. I don't know when that is. And I'm preaching for people to respond to the gospel. But truthfully, if you believe the Bible, you have to believe this portion of it as well. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, don't let anybody deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Paul says it's really important, as being raised with Christ, died with Christ, raised with Christ, setting our mind on the things of Christ, seeking the things where Jesus is, knowing that Jesus is coming again, putting to death these old things, because one day the wrath of God is going to be poured out on those very things that Jesus died to save us from and delivered us out of. Have you found yourself in this season of national crisis, going back to the things that Jesus pulled you out of? Now that you haven't been able to be in consistent fellowship with God's people, seeing people, maybe you found reason to justify going back. You know what? What's the use? Nobody really knows about it anyway. They don't have anybody to be accountable to. Friend, you're accountable to God. You're a child of God. You belong to him. You died with him. You've been raised with him. Don't make excuses to go back to what you used to be. Be who Jesus has called you to be. Don't be like that eagle pecking in the barnyard. God didn't save you to be like that. He saved you to have a completely different perspective. And so here Paul exhorts us to put these things to death. And then finally, he says in verse 8, he tells us some things to put off. He said, you yourselves, now, he says, but now, verse 8, you yourselves are to put off. First it was put to death. Now it's put off all these. Because you might say, well, I'm not into fornication. I'm not into uncleanness. Hey, I'm not into evil passion. That is definitely dead. Yep, those things are dead to me. But notice this, and here we get a little bit of conviction. It says, put off all of these. I'm like, what? Anger. Wrath. Oh, malice. Blasphemy. Filthy language out of your mouth, and do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds. Here's some things we want to put off. Anger. You had any anger during the days of quarantine? I've had some anger that I've had to repent of. It means, this word anger is an abiding, settled anger with a scope of revenge attached to it. There's just times we just get in the flesh, man, and it's not honoring to God. And we're frustrated, and we're angry. Repent of that. How about wrath? This word for wrath is the word thumos. It means boiling agitation of feelings, resulting in sudden, violent anger. Do you have anything boiling tonight? I'm not talking about what's on the stove. I'm talking about what's in our heart. And there are certain people in your house. Maybe they have the ability to turn up the heat. And suddenly that which was just simmering is now boiling over. And you find yourself overcome with wrath. Hey, repent of that. You've been raised with Christ. I've been raised with Christ. Malice, the desire to injure someone. Hey, listen, if any of these things are going on, you need to call in for prayer. Don't be getting violent. injuring people around you. Blasphemy. Speech that would hinder someone else. How about filthy language? Foul speaking, profane, obscene speech, cursing. You find those things coming out of your heart? Isn't it interesting that there are certain situations in life, certain experiences that you have that reveal what's in your heart that you didn't know what was in your heart to begin with? It's like driving down the road when we get back on the freeway and we actually can drive. But when you're driving down the road and you have something, maybe something in your car, and it's a coffee cup and you know it's got the cover on it, but suddenly you hit a pothole in the road and it opens up and everything comes pouring out all over the place. It's everywhere. Now we know what's inside the cup because you hit a bump in the road. And maybe right now you've been on a 15, 20 day, 30 day bump in the road and there are all kinds of things coming out. And it isn't representative of Jesus. And it's hard to see those things. But I do believe that the Lord reveals those things to me, reveals them to you, so that we can repent of them. And so we can be forgiven and change. Allow the Spirit of God. It's like taking off an old garment. Put these things off. Don't be putting on, where's my malice shirt? There it is. You know, no, don't put that one on. Where's my blasphemy pants? No, definitely keep those. No, don't wear those. That's not Jesus. Put on something else. And here's where we close tonight. Instead of putting these things on, you put them to death, you put them off. But then in verse 10, and have put on the new man, or ladies, the new woman, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all in all. But now we put to death, we put off, and now we put on, it says here. How I love this. The new person who has been renewed in knowledge, meaning my mentality has changed. I don't think the same way I used to think. I'm now actually convicted by sin, where before I just sinned. But now God's working in me. Put on the new man. And notice this, who's renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. In other words, you're putting on Jesus. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and make no provision for the flesh. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. I want my thoughts, my mentality to be renewed, changed, transformed, putting on Jesus. This is how the resurrected believer lives. You have been crucified with Christ, if you're a Christian. You have been buried with Christ spiritually. You have been raised with Christ. And this is how you live. And I'll tell you something, our Christianity is being tested. I have often preached, said it multiple times in my life. Some of the most difficult places to be a Christian is in your house. Can I get an amen? I hear you. Now your wife's turning to you and she's saying amen. Husbands. But now we have this opportunity, an unprecedented opportunity, to actually live out our Christianity, to live the resurrected life in our home, to reclaim that space for the kingdom of God. May God help us to do just that. Jesus was resurrected, and we've been raised with him.
Today on A Daily Walk, we've been learning what our lives should look like once we're born again. In other words, what we're to put off and what we're to put on. It's part of John Randall's study in Colossians. You can listen to this study again at adailywalk.org and request the CD at 877-242-0828. You might also inquire about receiving the entire series. More and more people these days are accessing our teachings through our app. It's available for Android and iPhone users. Look for us on your favorite platform by searching for CCSJC. If you've watched our services online, you've probably noticed Pastor John sporting some really cool t-shirts. We'd like to offer you one today that features the phrase, "Courage is contagious." It's a great way to encourage people to be courageous in these difficult times. You can order that today online at adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. It's just $15. And during these critical summer months, would you please keep us in your prayers? And as the Lord leads, we'd also very much appreciate you standing with us with either a one-time gift or monthly support. Your partnership is important right now as people really need to hear the good news in a world full of bad news. Again, visit us at adailywalk.org to give online or call 877-242-0828. And we'd like to return the favor and pray for you too. Please email Pastor John at adailywalk@gmail.com and let's present our requests to the Lord together. Again, send those prayer requests to adailywalk@gmail.com. There's more to come in Pastor John Randall's study of Colossians. Set aside another half hour to join us tomorrow for A Daily Walk, where you never have to walk alone.